Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done.
Welcome to the podcast. My name is Brian David Thompson, and you're listening to Prophets Don't Wear Plaid. I'm here in studio with C.K. Thompson.
Hello.
It's good to see you, and this happens to be our first podcast of the year 2016. So first thing I want to do is just thank everybody for listening, and I just want to encourage all you guys to go ahead and subscribe. If you haven't subscribed yet, tell a friend, share, and again, we appreciate it.
Yes, and yes, thank you for listening. I want to thank all of our listeners. We just started this podcast back in September of 2015, and this has been fun and quite an adventure into a new thing. And I really appreciate all of the listeners. We're coming to you live via podcast, so technically not live.
Yeah, that's not live. Little joke.
From Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And it theoretically, it was a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. It probably was up above the clouds in the rain.
Yep, a little rainy.
Unless you like the rain.
Yeah.
Praise God. Rain is a blessing, by the way. When you hear people say, you know, into every life a little rain must fall, that's really a misquote. Or where it says that it rains on the just and the unjust. Rain, in the Word of God, is a blessing. So when it rains, like, let it rain, Lord.
Yes.
It's the blessing of God. So when a little rain falls in your life, that is a good thing. Thank God for rain. Okay. So we're coming to you from beautiful, rainy Las Vegas today. Uh-huh. Please subscribe to the podcast and let your friends know. And I'm going to go straight into, you know, instead of chatting much, we're going to go straight into basically what the Lord has been showing me for 2016. And most of you know that if you go back and listen to some of the older podcasts, and if you want to catch up a little bit about who I am and why I'm doing what I'm doing, the Lord's called me to not only help people hear the voice of God. He's called me to be the voice of God. We're all called to be His voice, not just hear it. He needs a mouthpiece in the earth, but He specifically called me and told me to take my position probably 15, 20 years ago. I've been in the ministry full-time with my husband since 1977. We started when we were 12. Okay, that's a joke.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But the Lord started initiating a series of dreams and visions in my life. Actually, for years, I've been seeing dreams, visions of the night, all kinds of wonderful things, and really not talking about it very much. And mm-hmm. It wasn't until about 15 years ago or so, the Lord spoke to me in a service while my husband was preaching the word. And, of course, he's my favorite preacher, and I'm sitting there listening. And all of a sudden, I was taken away, and I heard the Lord say, I've called you to be a prophet, and it's time for you to take your position. He said, it's time for you to take your position. And it was very authoritative, and he said, see what you're called to see, and say what you're called to say. And take your position, and basically instructed me to stop messing around and wasting time and get with it, because he had things for me to see and say. I've seen a lot. I just didn't say it much. And unlike some people that just want to tell blab to everybody everything they see, which, people get excited, but I'm more the kind of person that will sort of like keep it to myself. I'm like, whoa, and like, who's going to believe me anyway? Mm-hmm. But the Lord called me on it. And so I come to you basically in fear and trembling, seriously, and in all humility, out of obedience to God, to do what He told me to do. And with that in mind, I want to share with you what I've been hearing in the Spirit, what I've been perceiving, what I've been seeing and dreaming and visions of the night leading up to the end of 2015 and going into 2016.
Okay.
So I'm going to get into it. Brian, you can attest to the fact that this has been one of the hardest messages to get out there for me.
It has been. There's been a lot of opposition and a lot of things that tried to hold this message back and to stop it.
Yes.
Everything from technical difficulties to spiritual attacks that try to come in and slow it down, but
it's not
going to succeed.
We did an entire podcast on this subject, and then when we got done, we discovered that halfway through it had some kind of buzz or something, and we had to throw the whole thing in the trash and start over. That was a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, I'm just sharing this part because it's also part of the anointing that's on me. The Lord said that he had called me to be, he didn't say in the spirit of Elijah. He said it was in the spirit of John the Baptist, who came in the spirit of Elijah. But John the Baptist was known for making people uncomfortable. Those who needed to be made uncomfortable. He brought things out of the darkness into the light. He said what he was called to say, because he saw what he was called to see. And he was living out in the wilderness.
Yeah. Right.
He was kind of, he had to get away from all of the spiritual activity in the city. I know what that's like. Mm-hmm. And he was eating locusts and wild honey.
Right.
And as an aside, which I feel I'm to share, that the wild honey represents in just one way of looking at it is the wild honey is like that no one can tame that. They were serving up domesticated controlled honey in the synagogues in the religious system of the day, and John the Baptist was out in the wilderness eating wild honey. He was getting it straight from God, so they called it wild. He was a wild man. He would like, I don't know, probably today they'd call him one of those hippie types or something, eating organic food. I don't know. That's it. Okay, that's neither here nor there. I don't eat necessarily, I don't know if I eat organic food or not. I hope it's good for me. But wild honey, meaning it could not be tamed by or controlled or manipulated by the religious system, who was accustomed to controlling and manipulating those things. He was out hearing from God. And then he was also eating locusts, as in where it says in the word that the Lord would restore the years of the locusts have eaten. He was doing warfare in the wilderness because he was not only proclaiming, you know, the word of the Lord, prepare you the way of the Lord, but he was eating locusts. Talk about a warrior. He was not only proclaiming that the Lord was going to restore the years that the locust has eaten, he was actually eating the locust.
Right, gotcha.
Like, I'm having your daddy for dinner, is what he's saying to the devil, you know? He's just, that's a warrior thing right there. So in that spirit of John the Baptist that just simply called to bring things out of the darkness into the light, which is extremely scriptural, and I do it most of the time without even knowing I'm doing it.
Uh-huh.
Usually it's just like innocently talking, you know, and all of a sudden somebody's really having an issue and I didn't even know what I did. I just stepped in it and didn't know that I accidentally, I got air quotes going on, accidentally stepped in their stuff and it got exposed. And they think I did it on purpose and they don't know that I didn't even know what I did.
Yeah.
It's very kind of unnerving. I never know when it's going to happen. And I have people, you know, like get mad or say, oh, your mom really hurt my feelings or you know, your wife really did, you know, why'd she say that about me? And I don't even know what they're talking about. Uh-huh. I'm just doing what I do.
Uh-huh.
And this happened quite a bit in the last month or so. This has been happening to me.
Yes.
And to people around me.
Mm-hmm.
And in, you know, we have our ministry headquarters are here in Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
but we do travel and minister. We also have a church here. It's just brand new. Yeah. I don't even know. We haven't, it doesn't even, has not even begun to do what it's going to do.
Right.
Here in Las Vegas. But in the Lord's time, we're not in any big rush other than the timing of God. And we're not in competition either. We're compelled by compassion, not competition. And so we're just waiting on the Lord to bring our tribe. And here's what happened Sunday. Since this happened last week, we tried to record the podcast to share this message.
Right.
Sunday, I have never preached in such a tough room since we moved here.
Really?
As last Sunday's service here in Las Vegas.
Tough room how?
Oh, man. There was a spirit that came into that room, and I do believe that there were a few people that were involved, I think probably unwittingly.
Yeah.
They are accustomed to playing games with the religious system. Okay. Within the religious system, which, let me explain, that's sort of like, that's churchism. Mm-hmm. That's what people are accustomed to in the church world if they haven't gotten a revelation from God that this is not how God set things up, you know?
Of course.
And I know, I'm just laying it out there, okay? I went in, and the people were, it was like, it was such a tough room. The people, the good-hearted people that were there could barely worship. It was like everyone was just shut down. And I know there were some people who were really giving it a good, their best shot at trying to worship the Lord. But there was a spirit hanging in the room that was like not only trying to shut down the prophetic voice, but they were trying to shut down the ability of the people to receive anything from God that day.
Yeah.
That was just this last Sunday.
Okay.
And I don't even care if the people who were involved know about it. I don't care. I'm called to see what I'm called to see and say what I'm called to say. And if you're wise, you will hear from God and repent. And if you're not wise and you want to have your feelings hurt and have someone, you know, hold your hand and pat you on the head, there's plenty of churches you can go to where they will do that.
Uh-huh.
But it is not okay to tamper with and mess with the anointing of God and disrespect the Lord to such a degree that there is no freedom for the word of the Lord to be spoken in a place. When that's what we do, we are prophets.
Yeah.
Mike's an apostle. I'm a prophet. Brian, you're a prophet. We are prophetic people, to put it mildly. That's what like separates us from like just about everything. The anointing. We have to have that anointing, or we are, you know, there's no point in opening the doors.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yep.
We have to have that anointing. So when there is an attack, or it's almost like an organized attack to shut down our anointing, then I know something's up.
Okay.
It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
It happened last Sunday.
Okay.
And I know you can attest to how difficult it was trying to lead worship in
if there was a block.
That room. Oh, man. It was like trying to minister to a brick wall. And it was unfair to the people that came to receive from the Lord.
True.
The worst part is that mocking spirit of those who don't believe in that prophetic word of the Lord, or specifically, they wanted to hear it from Mike, but they don't believe in me. I had one of them literally mock me in the prayer line.
Oh.
And even as the Lord tried to give her a word about her children, her family, etc., she was sitting there, are standing there, openly mocking, shaking her head no, arguing with God.
Really?
And so I just quit. There was a whole lot more the Lord wanted to say to bless that woman, and I have to walk in love towards these people, even though, you know, Jesus knew men's hearts, but that didn't mean that he withheld ministry from them. I mean, if that was based on that, no one would have gotten ministered to. I mean, based on that, Jesus wouldn't have even come and died on the cross. I mean,
sure.
No one deserved it. So even though I can see and I know men's hearts most of the time, I still will tell them whatever the Lord gives me to say, because I want to see those people delivered. I have to walk in love. It requires walking in love on a level that most people maybe would have trouble with, because these people aren't being very nice to you. Right. You know? And when they're not being very nice to you, it'd be really easy to just walk away and say, well, just forget you. Mm-hmm. But I have a responsibility to the Lord to speak His words into their life in order to bring about a change and deliver them from that.
Yes.
And so I'll do that to the best of my ability, the best that I can. But in this case, the woman was so openly antagonistic towards me. Her doubt and unbelief, not only towards me, mm-hmm. clearly did not receive me as a prophet, mm-hmm. But was actually mocking and telling me I was wrong.
Uh-huh.
About, I mean, if someone starts prophesying to me about my children and my family and the blessing of God that He wants to do,
yeah.
I'm not going to turn that down.
Right.
You know, even if I think they may, you know, if I'm not sure about that person.
Yeah.
I won't turn down the blessing of God. Mm-mm. But this woman was doing that. And so I finally just put her hands down, because I was holding her by the hands, ministering.
Right.
I just put her hands down, blessed her. And then she immediately turned and she said, I want him to pray for me instead. And talking about my husband.
Okay.
Talking about Mike. She didn't want me. She wanted Mike.
Gotcha.
She was one who had helped bring in that spirit that day into the room.
Okay.
And it was wicked. It was, to me, that is like beyond wicked. People who believe that it's okay to treat the ministries of God that way, and that God doesn't see it.
Well, yeah, it puts you on pretty dangerous ground.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not wise to do that. Even if you do feel that way, you've got to hold that back. That's just not smart.
Absolutely. Thin ice, man. What kind of arrogance or ignorance?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm trying to give her the benefit of the doubt here, but I know that it was more than that. There was an angry, punishing thing going on. And I'm sharing this with people. It's a podcast, and I'm fairly certain that she's not going to be listening to this.
Right.
But it's a good learning experience for the sake of the people who were there, and they know what I'm talking about. You guys need to know that what you were feeling when you felt that weird thing Sunday, you were feeling what was going on in the room.
Yeah.
And I admit that it took us off guard. I wasn't prepared for quite that intense of an attack.
Yeah.
I wasn't strong physically that day. I mean, you know, the Lord's healing me some stuff.
And
it just came in, and I want people to be able to trust their hearts when they feel like, wait, something's wrong here. You're right. Something was wrong there.
Right. So part of the reason you're bringing this up is, as the president said, we're having a teachable moment here.
Yeah.
Or that was a teachable moment. It's just something to get some teaching out of and explain some of that to people, especially the people that were there.
Yes. It's because there were such good people. There were such precious people that were there. And I know that they are perceptive enough to know that there was something wrong in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And out of respect for them, they need to know and be validated that, yeah, there was something wrong there.
Uh-huh.
And we are aware of it, and we're praying about it, and the Lord will take care of this.
Oh, and sure.
So it robbed them, though. It robbed them of getting to hear this message.
Hmm.
And so I'm going to share it now.
Okay, share away.
Okay. And I want to say, I forgive those people that brought that stuff in, but I don't forgive that demon. And I never will. I go after those demons. I mean, right. I'll go after it, man, with a vengeance.
Right.
Jesus already judged you, devil, so you got no right coming into our meetings and shutting down anything that God is doing, period. Mm-hmm. So having said that, you can tell how I feel about that, can't you? I'm a little fighter. I'm a spitfire. I come up swinging. And I don't let those things just sit in the darkness. And the devil has a heyday. He's counting on us to keep our mouths shut, and people get so frustrated that we're not manipulate or controllable.
Yeah.
I will do what the Lord tells me to do, mm-hmm. and not what other people think I ought to do.
Right.
Does that sound rebellious or something? People aren't used to hearing that in church.
Well, yeah, no. No, not at all.
Well, that's how it is. So, God bless you guys.
We're not just talking about regular church.
No.
And
that's a good point.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you brought that up, but you were trying to get to this subject.
Yeah.
You know, and explaining that what was it you were trying to share? Because there's something you wanted to share. And
absolutely.
So, what did you want? What did you see for 2016? I think it had something to do with that.
Absolutely. Now, one thing about that too is that 2016 just happens to fall in the middle of this season. It's not an actual, it doesn't have to do with specifically the dates as much as the ebbs and flows of the Spirit mm-hmm. and what's happening in the spiritual realm during this season in the body of Christ on planet Earth mm. and in the heavenlies. We heard someone say something about Jubilee. And, you know, we hear it almost every year because people all go by different Jewish calendars and or whatever. So every year, it seems like for the last however long.
Year of Jubilee.
It's always a year of Jubilee.
Year of Jubilee, yeah.
Which is great because, you know what, it is. But not in the natural sense. People got to get it out of natural earth time and go up into the heavenlies. It is time for restoration. It is the year of Jubilee in the spirit. Just like the Lord told me back in 2007 that during tabernacle season, it was in October, I believe, that year, I wrote it down, and he told me that this tabernacles will not cease. It will not stop until Jesus comes back. He said that he called it everlasting tabernacles. He established, because this we're coming up on the culmination of all things, and I don't know what the timing is on that. It could be 100 years. It could be tomorrow. I don't know. But he was saying that this time, this season of tabernacles, tabernacling with the Lord, and, you know, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. For the former things have passed away. Behold, I make all things new. And just that, yeah. All that stuff. He said, this tabernacle season will not cease until Jesus comes back. So we're also living in tabernacles at this time.
Oh,
it's
wow.
a spiritual thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's powerful. And another thing is that, you know, people talk about the Sabbath. And there's a lot of controversy in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
About, you know, whether to worship on Saturday or Sunday because, you know, we keep the Sabbath.
What is a Sabbath? Yeah.
The Sabbath is, we are living in the Sabbath. This is the Lord's Sabbath. In the spiritual realm, it doesn't matter what day of the week you worship. You better be worshiping every day of the week because this entire church age is the Sabbath.
Right, not just one day a
week.
It's
not a day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
It is this season on planet Earth.
Right.
It's we are living in the Sabbath. And so that should just remove all of the, I mean, just, man, get some freedom, people. Get some freedom. You are living in the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Keep the Sabbath day. Don't profane it. Keep it holy.
Yes.
That means every day. That means you don't get to sin on Friday and then keep the Sabbath.
right.
You get to keep the Sabbath every day.
Because
this is the Sabbath. All right. So in line with that, the Lord said to me, and I've been hearing this from others also, and I purposely don't listen to a lot of others until I've heard from the Lord first, and then I want to go hear what others are saying.
Oh,
but
yeah?
I got to hear from God for myself. so that that doesn't change what I was going to say.
Yeah, I get you.
He told me that we were coming up on, I have these written down. I want to make sure that I get this, the notes for this. Right. Let me read to you from Micah. I'm in the Amplified Bible. I'm reading Micah chapter 2, verse 13. Mm-hmm. The breaker, who is the Messiah, will go up before them. Notice he's going up. The breaker will go up before them. They will break through. And they means you. Oh, children of God. Sons of God. That's you. The breaker is going up. That's Jesus himself. They will break through and pass in through the gate and go out through it. And the king will pass on before them, the Lord at their head. The breaker is going up. The Lord said, this is the time. The breaker is going up. And the significance of this is that he has been calling us up. He's been calling the body of Christ up. People have been having third heaven encounters. He's been calling people up for probably the last couple of decades. It's been getting stronger and stronger, the upward call. And it's Jesus himself who is the breaker. He is, and so people say, well, what's the breaker? What's that mean?
Right.
A lot of people call it breakthrough. And it does say here that they will break through and pass in through the gate. The gate is referring to authority. Whenever you see gates in the Bible, it has to do with authority. For instance, in Isaiah 62, where it says, pass through the gates, cast up the highway, gather out the stones. That's the scripture the Lord has given to Mike and me for years, because we're, we're running point out here. Mm-hmm. We've always been pioneering and...
Yeah.
He's always, our calling is to like prepare the way of the Lord, go out, go through the gates, cast up the highway, gather out the stumbling stones for the people so that the people can go through. And then it says to lift up an ensign or a banner in the spirit for the people. Those people that are seeing and hearing in the spirit, or just they perceive, they know there's something there. The Lord will show them that banner in the spirit of where the way that's been prepared, but it's through the gates. It's always through the gates. Psalm 118, he talks about, I gotta look it up. He's talking about, open up the gates of righteousness to me. I will go through them.
More of the gates.
It's gates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Psalm 24 gates. Or 24. The 24th Psalm is lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And there's also places where it talks about, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church.
Right.
Gates are always referring to authority. I shouldn't say always, but for the most part, it's authority, which is what the Lord spoke to Mike when he took him up to third heaven the first time. See, now I'm starting to slow down.
Huh?
Who? That anointing just went boom when I started talking about that. The Lord told you to teach his people about third heaven authority.
Mm-hmm.
People are having third heaven encounters because the veil is becoming, thinner or it's
yeah, it's like thinner, but I mean, it's easier to go through or go back and forth.
Yes.
Yeah.
People are passing through the gates. They were passing through time. The Lord is, I'm getting ahead of myself. Time and eternity. He's redeeming our time. He's redeeming our money. He's redeeming all these things. It has with eternity. It has to do with eternity invading this this generation on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with the kingdom of heaven invading Earth.
Yeah.
The kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our God, is what it says in Revelations. That's through the body of Christ that this is happening. And people don't realize that, especially if they're busy murmuring about their president or whatever thing is. They're all involved in the stuff in the physical,
it's
natural
a lot
realm
to murmur about. Yeah.
And they're not paying attention to what God is doing in the heavenlies and how the kingdom of heaven is invading, folks. The kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Itself. He has initiated this. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 118. I mean, out of my distress, I called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free and in a large place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's all over there. It's all over. I mean, I'm having trouble like even verbalizing some of this, but Lord help me. He will. You've heard me talk about back in the year 2000, January, I believe it was 26, in there somewhere. I've got it written down. The Lord initiated a series of dreams and visions of the night about supernatural finances. He started talking to me about money, and it was a series of dreams that actually continues to this day. And it just blew me away, first of all. The Lord started us out preaching grace. We've always been just sort of like a square peg in a round hole, wherever we go.
Yeah.
Even back then, we were preaching grace. Everyone else was preaching faith. And we believe in faith, man. I believe the word. I believe the word is settled forever in heaven. And you can base your life on God's word, period.
Oh,
He can't lie. And so we've based our life on the word, but without the legalism that has accompanied that teaching for so many years, that has driven people away from the answers they need. He called us to preach grace. And so we used to say, oh, well, we perch like a bird. No, we preach the word of faith.
Yeah.
We preach the word of faith by grace.
By grace, yeah. I remember that. That was
from
a long time ago.
Yeah. We used to have that on our sign.
A long time ago.
Preaching the word of faith by grace. Because we just, and you know, a lot of our friends, beloved friends, just thought we were nuts because we weren't just hammering away at the message, their message.
Yeah.
Because our message was grace. And that was our anointing, and it still is. We're not legalists, not by any stretch.
No.
The only thing that I get upset about is disrespect, which you can kind of tell from the beginning of this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Disrespect is the only thing, the only sin that in my mind is something that we just don't put up with in our ministry. I don't know, if people are going to go out to their car and sneak a cigarette, I'm not going to go out there and tell them they better resign their position or whatever. I just don't care. Other than, you know, that's between them and God. I care about them. Those are just outward things. But stuff, sins of the heart are different. The biggie sin being disrespect.
Yeah.
Disrespect for God is number one. Disrespect for what God is doing in the hearts and lives of other people. Disrespect for what he's doing in our ministry and what he's called us to do. If people that come in and think they have a right to tell us what we ought to do and try to manipulate and control us, because that's how the system out there is set up. The religious system, they're so used to manipulating their pastors that they don't like it when they come into our church and they can't manipulate us.
Right.
And we're not manipulatable because we have an assignment that we know that we know that we know from heaven, a heavenly assignment that I'm not going to give up something that precious just to keep somebody else happy down here. There's plenty of preachers that'll let you manipulate them. You can go there.
Yeah.
Or you can stay here and get set free and have your life changed forever.
Yeah.
But if it weren't for that, I mean, if it weren't for that call of God, and if it weren't for the grace and for the actual encounters with heaven, I don't even know if I could go to church these days. Doesn't that sound horrible? If my own husband weren't a pastor, I don't know if I could go.
Well, yeah, so you just can't take standard church as it is.
Oh, man,
you know?
I can't. I mean, you're raised in church. I was raised in church. And I was also abused in church. And molested, abused, beaten, raped. Okay? Talking about uncomfortable subjects, all right? I can't change my history. That's the truth.
Right.
And it happened, most of it, at the hands of people who called themselves Christians.
Of course.
This was in the name of the Lord. So for me, going to church is like returning to the scene of the crime.
Yep, literally.
Yeah. And returning to the scene of the place where they were empowered and taught that it was okay to abuse people in the name of the Lord. And so I have a problem with church. As it just... Church-ism.
Religious.
Yeah, what we call what
church.
Yeah, the religious church. The religious
school,
system.
Old style, systematic religion. Right.
Yes. Even in new, like even in the charismatic churches, even in prophetic church. I mean, people are people wherever you go. And so if they're legalists and they're offenders and if they're mean and if they're gossipy and manipulative, controlling of people, on the baseball team, I mean, everywhere you get them together, there's going to be somebody that's like that. That's how it is at church.
Yeah.
The problem is they come into church and they dress it up in Pharisee garments and put God's name on it and then proceed to start abusing people in the name of God. That's the, like the most wicked thing you can do. Misrepresent God.
Of course.
That's unspeakable. I feel like I'm almost over the top here on this podcast.
Oh? No, you're just talking about what happened to you and just basically just about what religion does to people.
It does.
Institutionalized religion, spirit of religion.
Yes. And that
power,
people,
controlling people.
And that they need to understand that even if you are in a prophetic church, a charismatic church, a brand new wave, whatever the newest, latest fad is in the church world. It doesn't mean that you're safe from that kind of stuff. It's in all those churches.
Yeah, you got to watch out.
Not all pastors are that way, but just because you're in like the new, the latest move of God or the coolest thing that's happening in town, it doesn't mean that there isn't abuse happening.
I see.
And that's a sad state of affairs. People need to know, they think, well, that was back in the old days, but in our church, we don't do that. Really? Are you sure about that? Because I've been abused in your church. I've
Ouch.
Already been abused in your church. So, it's a spirit, man. You can't go around controlling, manipulating people.
Right.
With prophecy either, you know?
Yeah. Right. Well, the problem with like the spirit of religion, because you know, it's in, you know, old style, you know, religion. I guess what I'm trying to say is that it updates.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't just stay, and like a lot of people think wrongly that if you're just doing something new and really fresh, then you're automatically out of religion. But actually, the spirit of religion updates.
Oh,
and so, you know, it keeps up with the fads the same way that you do.
Very
so
much.
You got to watch out. It's not so easy sometimes.
That's excellent. Excellent. It upgrades.
Like
Windows 10, which has demons in it, and we need to cast them out.
Oh, yeah. That's
right to
terrible.
Microsoft. Anyway.
Yeah, Windows 10 is the worst thing that ever happened to my computer. I have to say that. On a side note. Okay.
Yeah, that's what happened to our live streaming. Y'all pray for it. But anyway. Shout out to Microsoft, huh?
No, not a shout out.
No.
Thumbs down.
Okay, thumbs down. Way down.
Yeah.
Okay. So I took that rabbit trail from when I was talking about when the Lord initiated the dreams and visions about supernatural finances. And then he started talking to me about supernatural youth and long life. And you're talking about it for this generation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For the boomers especially, and that the boomers have to inherit their heritage, their inheritance, before they have anything to pass on to the next generations. And they can't be skipped, and they're not done, and they need to get a hold of that, and it's not time to stick them out to pasture. The boomers have fire in their bones, and they're just getting more fire in their bones. That was a generation that got waylaid, and God is going to keep his good word to the boomers. And part of that has to do with the redeeming of their time and the redeeming of their money. Mm-hmm. In order to keep every covenant promise he's given them. And that some of them even forgot that he told them. And it's still in their DNA, their destiny. I am really cramming a lot into this podcast, aren't I?
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen to it a few times. I'm going to have to listen to it a few times.
There you go.
But the Lord told me at the time, he said, these anointings are breaker anointings. I wrote it down, and I wasn't quite sure what a breaker anointing was. I'm thinking it has to do with breakthrough, pretty sure. But hearing that terminology breaker was new for me.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until, and then I started hearing other people say, use the terminology breaker anointings and so forth here and
there.
Well,
yeah. Well, there's some ministries, I won't say, but they, been talking about it for a long time. But I think they have some slightly different definitions of it, though.
Of breaker?
Of breaker, yeah, saying the breaker and so on. Yeah. Anyway, but I think it might be just like a tiny bit different. Go ahead.
Okay. Well,
so what do you mean by it?
So, yeah, I just thought it meant, it was a breakthrough kind of anointing. And he showed me this year, coming up on the 2016, and he's talking about the breaker goes up. He was like, okay, now it's time. Jesus is the breaker. And here it is in the Word. I didn't know that. I didn't know that he was called the breaker in the Word. And the thing that these anointings are sent to break are all of the strongholds that the enemy has built up in people's lives and hearts for decades. In fact, some of them generations. Blessings are coming down from their family that people either prayed for and didn't get to see the answer in their lifetime, or the Lord gave them to their family and people turned it down. Those anointings, those what do you want to call, like, the talents that were given in the New Testament, like the servant that was given the 5 talents and the 3 talents and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
These things don't just disappear. They're still there and they're still available. And so in this generation, the Lord is offering anointings from the past that people did not pick up and run with. They're still there waiting for someone to run with. And this generation, hear my heart,
Yeah.
This is the breaker. Jesus is the breaker. And he's sending these anointings to break through the strongholds that have kept those things from being released into the earth. He needs someone to pick up those anointings and say, yes, Lord, I'll run with this. I'll do it. I will say yes to this breaker anointing. Give it to me. I'll take it.
Yeah.
And that's what he's offering right now as we're going into 2016. The breaker anointings delivered to us by the breaker himself. And I think Mike mentioned Sunday that a way of looking at it is the breaker. When a person is handcuffed,
yeah,
they need to be broken loose.
Okay, yeah,
so
I see that.
Have you noticed how, like, when this anointing gets on us, sometimes we just get sort of rummy?
Ah, yeah, it's really thick, so I'm just trying to talk normally here, kind of
yes,
hard.
It is thick. Yeah. As soon as I started talking about that third heaven authority, it just went boom.
Yeah.
And our heads and our brains sort of went, whoa.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, the anointing's real strong. But, yeah, the... the breaker is in is the one that causes the breakthrough to happen.
Yes.
It's the source of the breakthrough.
He's the source of the breakthrough. That's a good way to say it.
Yeah.
Yes, we'll say it so many different ways people catch
on. Somebody will get it.
Breakthrough is the result.
Oh, okay.
Of the breaker.
Right.
And Jesus is the breaker. And so these breakthrough breaker anointings are being released now. They're supernatural anointings. They're not just, you know, they're not like a good get rich quick
yeah.
scheme
or
as far as money goes, or it's not like here's this wonderful food that if you eat this, it's going to keep you young. Although he does, you know, bless. He has ways of blessing. But these things are all supernatural anointings that only God can get the glory for. And that we're actually stepping into a time of supernaturalness on planet Earth, that we are able to walk in both realms at the same time, the natural and the spiritual. Like the rod in the head, you might want to go back and listen to the podcast, Stick It in Your Ear. We're talking about the rod in the head. That rod is in our head, and boy, I tell you what, I'm starting to feel effects of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because once we said yes to that and put it in there and left it in our heads, it causes you to walk in and see eternity superimposed over this natural realm. God's people, the sons of God, are called to walk in this. That's the normal Christian life right there. We are supposed to be walking like Jesus did. He did. He had a rod in his head, I guarantee you. It was his connection. He was the Son of God. Even though he left his glory in heaven, he was still the Son of God in human flesh. And eternity being superimposed over this natural realm causes us to be so tuned into what heaven is doing.
Right.
And the activities of heaven. That we literally, and I saw this in a dream, we literally have to look at the clock on the wall to see what the rest of the world is subject to. Because we are becoming where we're not subject to natural laws.
Right.
And I say that a little bit kind of like, oh, people are going to think I'm... But it's the truth. Mm-hmm. And more and more, as the day approaches, that we are called to walk as he walked. Like, as he is, so are we in this world. And that's how the kingdom of heaven is invading the earth, is by people like us that are just simple enough to believe it and hungry enough and trust him enough to walk in heavenly things and walk in heavenly places and allow him to do it. The world out there is so hungry for an actual living God, and they've had a boatload of religion shoved in their face. God has been so misrepresented. Jesus has been so misrepresented to those that he loves out there.
Yeah.
And people pronouncing judgment.
Right.
And I don't get it. We're like, it's whole groups of people that you know, are so proud of how you know, praying 24/7 and then turn around and start pronouncing judgment on the very thing they're praying for.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Why are you praying? If you're going to pronounce judgment on them anyway, what gives you the right to pronounce judgment on America? You're supposed to be praying. You don't pronounce judgment on someone you're praying for.
Right.
We're called to love. That was the key. And I do want to bring that up. The most important key. The key to being able to walk in any of this.
All right.
Everything, every heart's desire.
Yes.
Supernatural youth, supernatural finances. Walking in the breaker anointings, walking in the heavenlies, the redemption of our time, our money.
Yeah.
The Lord is turning the hearts of the children to the parents. all these things that's happening, hearts of the parents to the children, raising up fathers, all these things, calling his children into sonship. One condition. There's only one condition. Uh-huh. And that is, you got to walk in love.
Correct.
And walking in love, he told me that's the biggest stumbling stone for his children. And he even took the time to define with me what love was and what love wasn't. Well, you know, you can read the words. 1 Corinthians 13 is the classic love chapter, which incidentally is right smack dab in the middle of all the teaching about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and everything. Because it doesn't matter if you can prophesy the paper off the walls. If you're not walking in love, you're just a bunch of noise.
That's what the Bible says, yeah. Uh-huh.
It's love. Love never fails. Love is what allows us to walk in these things. But he said it is not the superficial, sappy, fault-finding, critical, manipulating, controlling, religious love that is often put forth as love.
Right.
In the church world, or even outside of the church world, people say love. They call it love, and it's not love at all.
Right.
That's not love. Love, well, God is love.
Mm-hmm.
He himself is love. And he's not just a nice guy. Mm-hmm. Love doesn't mean be nice to everybody.
No, not at all.
Yeah, you be nice. Oh, I hate it when I hear people say that to their children. Mm-hmm. You be nice. Don't you want to be nice? And I'm thinking, no, they really don't. Most kids don't want to be nice.
Yeah, asking them is not really smart.
No, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's the rod and correction that drives him far from it. Mm-hmm. Mama, you better be prepared to discipline your child. Mm-hmm. If you love him, help them want to be nice. They don't want to be nice. That's a side note. Boy, I got a lot of dumb things to say, don't I?
doing good.
Love, the real deal, is like Jesus came and laid down his life. No one took it from him. He laid it down. They tried to kill him several times, but they tried to do it before his time. And he just walked, like in one case, he walked through the crowd. You know, they tried to throw him off a cliff. Mm-hmm. They were going to stone him another time. They couldn't kill him.
Mm-mm.
He laid it down. He laid down his life. No greater love. And has any man that he would lay down his life for his friends. No one could kill him. He laid it down. Love just can't fail. He had to lay it down, because when you're walking in love, you're walking in so much protection, no one can kill you. That's what love is like. Love is so powerful that people need to be taught about love, because if they knew how to walk in love the way Jesus did, no one could kill him. I mean, even the persecution that's coming on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
There are testimonies of people that have so much love that they can't be killed. The people that, like, literally firing rifles at them point blank.
Right.
And it's just, like, ricocheting it by their feet. It's, you know, angelic activity. They're being protected by a shield of love. Love never fails. It just can't. It's the only safe place.
Yep, good word.
So I hope that people were able to hear my heart, because I came on pretty strong this time. God loves you so intensely. And right now, his plans on planet Earth are so, like, out of this world that he's looking for people who will believe him. He's looking for people that will walk in that. He's looking for people that will receive and accept the word of the Lord and respect him and respect his ministers that carry the message. And he longs to raise up sons, third heaven people, sons who will walk as a generation that hasn't walked on this planet since Jesus was here. As he is, so are we in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of the breaker. He is the breaker. And the breaker is going up through the gates of authority, and we're going with him. Mm-hmm. And we're taking back this planet for Jesus. One soul at a time, or how about a million souls at a time?
Mm-hmm.
God loves you, and God loves the people down the street that don't even know him yet. He loves them. And I'm not going to stand there and pronounce judgment on anyone. I'm going to take as many people with me as I possibly can. God bless you. Hope this is a blessing to you. Remember, prophets don't wear plaid. And thank you so much to the Streams of Many Water podcasting network.
Exactly. And yeah, we're a little bit over, although no apologies for that, because that was a good message that had to be said, and it took quite a bit of work to get that out, and so I'm just glad to have that happen. I want to thank everybody for listening.
Yes.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.